You are listening to Satellite Sisters. This is our annual Word Write Festival, people, where we interview fabulous authors about their fabulous new books. It is really a pleasure to be speaking to our next guest, Annabelle Gurwitch. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California, and Annabelle is on Skype somewhere here in the greater Los Angeles area. You know her. She is a frequent commentator on NPR in the past, and she was the co-host of the cult fave Dinner and a Movie. She's an actress. She's an author. She's an activist. You've seen her on Dexter and Seinfeld. Or maybe you caught her her play based on her best-selling book, You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, which I best title ever. And I'm happy to welcome her with her new New York Times bestseller. It's a book of essays about aging, and it's called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. Annabelle Gurwitch, welcome to Satellite Sisters, finally.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here. And as you said, coming from somewhere in Los Angeles, you know, I just left my mobile office. I actually call my car my mobile office now.
Wow.
I practically live there because Los Angeles was so spread out. I was thinking I could, like, I wonder if I could make my back seat into a Murphy bed. In Los Angeles, because we're so compassionate, I believe we just tried to pass a law here. When I say we, I don't mean me, but which makes sleeping in your car illegal. So I just realized I can't do that. But,
you can make it into a conference center. That would be nice.
Conference centers are all the rage now. So yes, I think I will do that. Can I say, I've been a big fan of Satellite Sisters for many years, but when we met at the Pasadena Lit Crawl, and for some reason, I feel like I should say like, something about that. Like I know it's crawl, but when I first read it, I read lit growl. I'm not sure why. But when I met you, and you know, let's just say you do have something of a Shiksagatis type look going for you.
Wow. I'm writing that down. I'm adding that to my bio.
You know, you're very blonde. You know, you're blonde. You're very well put together. But then I saw that your pants were hemmed with duct tape.
Yes.
Can I just say that I just thought, here is my kind of person.
That is true. I wanted to wear those pants tonight. I had just failed to take them to be shortened significantly. They were like 8 inches too long on me. So I did them up.
When I think about, you know, those lean in books and, you know, the conversation that somehow we're still having about having it all, I think, and there was Leon with her duct tape hemmed pants. Don't look at the little man behind the curtain. It was one of those moments, and I found it very endearing.
I hope I'm in your next book on aging then. I hope if there's
I hadn't thought about it, but now that you say that, I think I will put that as my new criteria of like how I recognize my people.
Well, you have an incredible number of job titles. It is hard to introduce you. Author, actress, activist says it all, but you have literally done it all. You're a storyteller. You perform on stage. You write your own material. You do radio commentary. You've written this beautiful book of essays, parts of which I see you made an effort. I laughed, I cried. I mean, that's my short review. Like, you laugh out loud funny, and then there are incredibly moving essays in the book. Do you actually have like a favorite job? Do you prefer X, Y, and Z? If you could do one thing for the rest of your life, you would say, oh yeah, actress, or oh, writer, oh, director. I know you produce your own stuff, right?
I do that now. You know, I started out, and it's funny, my friend, the actress, now director, Melanie Mayron, she was on 30 something.
Yes.
She was so great. And she was a young actress. She did tremendous films. She said to me once, you know what we are? We're just scrappy Jewish girls. I don't know how to describe that other than to say, you know, I'm, you know, if I'm at a loss myself. Okay, so here's the thing. I started out wanting to be a ballerina. That didn't work.
As we all did, yes. Or figure did. Skater, but
and
okay.
I actually did dance for quite a few years. And then hips came, and that wasn't going to happen. I mean, I'm not really big hippie, but I'm hippier than ballerinas. Let's just put it that way. I wanted to be an actress from when I was a teenager, and I started working actually right when I moved to New York to study at NYU to study acting. I got a job at the New York Shakespeare Festival, so I was insta actress, and I've been working ever since then. And you know, financial necessity can make you explore a number of careers.
Yes.
And that has been, you know, a driving force in my life was the lack of a trust fund or, you know, being a freelancer. And, you know, in my great moments, I think, you know, I feel very privileged to have been able to continue to earn a living as an artist of some kind. And it has just taken different forms. And it is just one of these crazy things. Like I get a lot of pleasure from all of these different endeavors. You know, there's something that you get from acting that I have loved so much, which is the collaborative experience. Mm-hmm. I love collaborating with other people. That we're kind of working together is fun. It is like a kind of playing, and it encapsulates a lot of things I love. When I get to do things where I get to speak exciting language, I've always loved language. So that's, you know, another great thing. But over the recent years, you know, I discovered a voice in writing that ultimately, you know, I have this ownership over, which you do as a writer, even though we're writers for hire, I'm writer for hire. I mean, there's always, you know, no one gets to do, you know, exactly what they want. And in fact, I again, even in writing, I feel like the collaborative process always helps. I really like working with editors. I like having, you know, answering to something. I'm not saying I want to just publish on my own, but the kind of ownership you get over your writing is different than you get as an actress. And so there is a great pleasure. I don't think I made this up, but what I really enjoy is having written.
Yes. Right. That's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. I'm on my third book now and I'm like, I can't believe it's a whole book. You know, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Right. I do love working out a sentence and an idea. And when I can get an essay to achieve a number of the goals that I've set out for, I always want to improve. I'm very sort of OCD about things. I was this way in my acting and I'm this way in my writing. I'm always trying to improve things. I always think I could go back and change and make everything better. But right.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience.
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
What is your process? Like when I read, I see you made an effort. You have a series of essays here. I mean, some of them I can see you doing on stage. Others I can see maybe came out of like a phone call or a rant with a friend. Like, what was your process for writing? Is it writing first or is it talking first or is it talking to yourself? I do that a lot. How do you come up with stuff?
I used to write in a different way. So, I've done a different kind, a lot of different kinds of things as a writer, writing commentaries for NPR, which were meant to be spoken. And then, you know, a certain amount of magazine writing and the writing that I'm doing for in books, like the last book, You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, which I wrote with my husband, that a lot of that was, it's a he said, she said, a lot of that was worked out, written that we performed, honed in performance, and then adapted for the book. This book was written in a different way. This book was written to be read, and then I'm actually adapting it now to be performed. But the way that I work now primarily is, first of all, I am that person, that inveterate note taker. Things happen, and I mean, just every day I receipts. I have 1,000 little notebooks. I'm always writing things down that I hear, that give me stories. And so
I feel like you can sense that when you read, I See You Made an Effort, because there are just some laugh out loud, funny observational humor lines that I'm like, so at some point she thought that she wrote it in a, you know, in a notebook, and here it is. It's just great.
Yeah. I mean, that's, that is, the other day I was making, a turkey sandwich for my son. And I asked my husband, who has recently become a vegetarian, if he wanted some turkey. He said, no, turkey is my gateway meat. I thought, like, what? I thought, okay, write that down. That's, you know, going in a story. I love that kind of observational humor, but I also, then I'm always thinking about, you know, themes. Mm-hmm. So, I get these ideas about, you know, things that interest me in the world. And then I try to write about how they intersect with my life. So that's what really interests me, is where my life intersects with, you know, the world that we're living in. So I See You Mean Effort was a series of stories. It started out as a series of stories that I actually hadn't thought were connected, except by the fact that they were all like these humiliatingly like moments of, you know, realizing I was like a target on my head when I went to buy something at the cosmetic counter, and I realized I'm this target at this age for like all these products, and there's a billion-dollar industry trying to get my small amount of money. And this moment happened where this was something that actually happened, a horrifying moment where this cosmetic salesperson was telling me all these amazing moisturizing, toning, and reparative things cream was going to do for my skin. And I said, but will it help my dry vagina? just came out, and a hush fell over the floor of the department store. People turned around. Should she just say dry vagina? And, you know, and my cheeks turned red. I ended up, of course, spending $200
to buy your way out of the humiliation.
I tried to buy my way out of that moment. And then I went home, wrote down that story. It was a whole series of stories, taking my son to a concert, realizing as I looked at that skinny lead singer that I wanted to take him home and pack him nutritious snacks for the road. I thought, oh my God. And as I started, after I had a couple of these stories, I realized this is really a portrait of midlife for me. And then I started writing, trying to see which stories I have that went to that theme. And so fitting the stories into the themes and then putting the book together was kind of a puzzle because, it was interesting. I thought about doing this as a narrative, but I actually made it a collection of essays because I didn't want my story, you know, as you noted,
right.
I've had done a lot of things, including some of them in front of a camera. I didn't want the book to seem to be a portrait of an actress hitting middle age. You know, I really see my major identity in life as a schlepper,
Well, it comes across as a mother, a friend, you know, just a person on the planet. You definitely come across that, though. I do think the fact that you are an actress sort of is particularly moving in some essays, because you have to face aging in a different way than people would face it if they were, you know, not an actress, not judged on the way they look.
It's funny you said that, because, you know, I looked at my gynecologist like description of me on my I have a wonderful gynecologist. Let me just say, he's a great guy, but he's got a lot of patients. He can't seem to ever remember my name.
Right.
I looked down and it said, you know, female tilted uterus 52. You know, that's kind of says a lot. Right there, you know, that's who I am to him. And in fact, I describe, you know, a visit that I made in the first chapter of the book. And one line I didn't actually get in there, which I just never worked in, was he said to me on this visit I made where I was just crying about, like, you know, what do I do about turning middle age? And he said to me, wait, aren't you the one who's divorced and wrote that funny book about how hard it is to stay married? I said, no, I'm the one who's still married and wrote a book about how hard it is to stay married. Anyway, because he can barely remember me. And I kind of, that to me is really the perspective that I'm writing, I see you made an effort from. He can barely remember me. I'm just another middle-aged woman in his practice.
You're just another tilted uterus. Let's face it.
Another tilted uterus, female, you know, another tilted uterus. Really, it says it all. But I did. And you know, the funny thing is, the only reason why I included, and I did try to corral anything about being an actress into like two chapters.
Right. Well, one I want to talk to you about, one essay I loved in particular.
The reason why was I wanted to, it was when I was answering the questions that I wanted to answer in this book, which were, how does hitting middle age feel and look to you as a tilted uterus in terms of dealing with the way you look, dealing with being a mom, dealing with where you are in relation to your workplace? And my workplace just happens to be having worked in show business. So I just didn't have another reference point. Although I did many, lots of terrible, crappy jobs for short amounts of time. I just didn't have a workplace other than that.
I actually think your essay, Marauding Through the Middle Ages, where you're talking about auditioning for a role at a commercial, is a very moving essay, because I think a lot of women get to the middle of their life and look at their career and go, well, that really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Or am I honestly competing with so-and-so for this job? Or, boy, I had a good decade there in my 30s. Then what happened? I mean, there was
it's
a very funny essay. You have a whole hierarchy for Hollywood. Yes. It's calculated something like this. I have it marked: Tom Cruise, movie star, TV star, reality TV star, series regular, cameo, guest star, co-star, sober companion for recently rehab star, former reality TV star, recently deceased television star, Starbucks barista, commercial actor, sloth, background performer, actress over the age of 50. You're last. You rate yourself last on the Hollywood hierarchy.
Yes, I do.
And you eat a lot of humble pie at these auditions. They're awful. Annabelle?
Let me just tell you, you eat a lot of humble pie. And I say that with an appreciation for humble pie, because if humble pie is what I've got to eat, you know, baby needs new skateboard. I've got a 16-year-old. It's just the way it is. And, you know, it's funny because don't ever read, I'm sure you know this, but don't ever read comments in random places on the internet, because they're only horrible.
Awful. They're only awful.
And it is, it's funny because people, you know, actually this was in reference to an excerpt of a piece of my book that was published somewhere. I read this comment and it said something like, well, you know, Meryl Streep and I'm trying to remember who else, and Sigourney Weaver are out there working. Yes. You see, they are like the CEOs. It's like a corporate structure in Hollywood. They have a lot of work. And then it's that middle ground where you see the ageism, and this is true, you know, in every business, in every industry. And that is what I wanted to write about. You know, the thing is, and actually there was an article in the New York Times recently about how middle-aged women have really had a hard time during this economic downturn. Big surprise, because, you know, there's so many people coming into the employment field. It's very competitive. And when I was writing this book, and I reference this in that story, and in fact, really, it sounds silly, but I really wrote that whole story to write this one thing, which was, I read this story about reinvention and about, and look, I am a reinventor, someone who's changed their career midstream, but it was about reinvention in for women at this age in all fields. And one woman was saying the only job offers she got were in Pakistan, and that she took this job offer. She's like a corporate trainer, and she has to live in a dormitory and be covered from head to toe when she's outside. And I thought, okay, you know, if she can do it, right, I can go to an audition and audition to be a crone in the Middle Ages. I was both horrified, and I also was inspired by the the strength and the willingness to do anything that I really associate with women in particular. I'm going to just say, I think men are more horrified by the kind of compromises that you have to make. But we who have seen, you know, I just was thinking about, well, when I was pregnant, I was like, I'm not gaining so much weight. It's just in this, it's just right here in the baby area. That's because I didn't realize that the baby area was so big. I couldn't tell how big my ass was actually getting, but we've seen our bodies change. And we do all these things that, that mean we have to have an ability to be, you know, flexible and to adjust. And I, that, that one story about this woman, I thought of this woman and she was like from somewhere in middle America, like Minnesota, going off. The only job she can get is in Pakistan, in a living in a dormitory, being covered head to toe.
In a burqa, and, right.
Yeah, in a burqa. And I thought, oh my God, I can't even get a job in Pakistan in a burqa. You know, and I was inspired and horrified, and I wrote my own story so I could also tell her story, which I thought was so, so terribly moving and inspiring and, you know, frightening all at the same time.
We're talking to Annabelle Gurwitch on the Satellite Sisters Word Right Festival. Her book, I See You Made an Effort, is out there now. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's also available on Audible. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, Annabelle, I want to talk about maintenance. You know, we've talked now about the serious stuff, but let's just talk about the myth of maintenance, skin hormones, skin creams. And where I want to know where you've ended up on that. Stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm back with Annabelle Gurwitch here on the Satellite Sisters Word Right Festival. Annabelle's new book, I See You Made an Effort, contains a whole series of essays. You know, you really go for it, actually. I admire you because you have one incredibly moving essay about taking care of your dying friend that really brought me to tears. It sort of, for me, cemented the whole book and your role in the world. Was it hard to sort of convince people to put in that serious essay? Did you have to work at that? Were people like, no, you're the funny one, Annabelle. Don't put in anyone dying.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because my publisher was really, that was when I actually sent this manuscript out. I had about 5 or 6 of these essays, and that was one of them. And it was really important to me to include that. None of the publishers who were interested in the book had a problem with that.
Oh, that's good.
And I've only heard positive feedback from my readers, the ones who want to meet me, people on the internet. In those random comments, I have noticed that some people can find that a little bit confusing, and that's just too bad, because I really felt like that's what interests me, the intersection between comedy and tragedy. And and writing about all these topics, first of all, I didn't think I could do a portrait of, and it is a portrait of middle age, of middle aging. Oh, middle aging.
Middle aging. I love it.
It's a verb.
Write it down.
Of middling. I do write also a lot about status, which is a part of middling that I hadn't seen written about. I didn't think I could write about this part of life without including a story that had this kind of weight because, you know, I had dinner with one of my best friends. We've been friends since we were 15 the other night. And we spent about an hour talking about the medications we're on.
Yeah.
And various health issues, yeah, and things we're trying. And I thought, wow, this is a different conversation than we had when we were 15. You know, I was suddenly, that was really brought home to me. And that is one of the surprising things that happens at this age. And I just felt it was like it said in Death of a Salesman, attention must be paid. I didn't think I could write without that. And I'm not a writer who is I don't know, you know, is interested in writing about the I don't know, things that aren't, that don't contain both right. the high and the low. So I hope that people will appreciate that and not be too frightened by that.
No, it's a wonderful, moving essay. It really was. And you're right. I don't know a single person who has reached this point in our lives who hasn't lost somebody and very painfully, you know, so it does have to, attention does have to be paid.
I try to encapsulate that, you know, and again,
and yet, you know, it's still funny, by the way. It's still, there's still some good laugh lines.
You know, it was a hilarious experience, yeah. by the way. I mean, it was just filled with this ridiculous, crazy stuff. But, you know, there was this one thing that occurred to me in relation to that story, which was that I'm old enough now to know the good cancers from the bad cancers. And in a sense, that was one of the lines that sort of I built that story around, because that kind of says it all to me. I know now when someone says they've got pancreatic cancer, that there's not a cure for that right now. I didn't know that, 15 years ago. I went, oh, really? What? You know, now I know these things. And that I think everybody knows at this age.
You know, I just do want to ask about the maintenance question, yes. and the beauty regime. And yes. As you said, sort of, what did you say? Trying to make your face fit in. The book is filled with sort of seeker essays. You tried a lot of stuff. Some worked, some didn't. I just was wondering, have you reached an equilibrium now as you sort of accept aging and move on, or reject it, whatever you decide to do?
This is where sense of humor comes in.
Yeah.
Because say the book, it's like a zero sum game. You know, so I've had good experiences, bad experiences, but in the end, the truth is it, you know, you're still working with what you've got. And, I'm trying to walk a middle ground. Here's the thing I've been doing right now. I found this very inexpensive, like, laser treatment that tightens your skin, but it only works for a week. Okay. So by the end of every week, the jowls come back. So in a way, it's horrible, because then by the end of every week, I'm reliving seeing my face get older again. I'm doing this when I go on television for like a media appearance, but it's ridiculous. And I mean, meanwhile, I'm announcing my age all the time, because I think that this is something, I'm not saying I recommend this to everyone. However, I have found this to be a very freeing experience, because I feel like the whole 50 is the new 40, 40 is the new 30. I've begun to sort of think of this in a sort of semiotic study way, where I feel that this is doing us, and I say women in particular, because I think it is mostly women who suffer even more from ageism. Mm-hmm. I think it does us a disservice, and it keeps us from actually experiencing the experience we are in our lives, sort of what I'm calling now the horrible opportunity of 50, to be constantly, saying we're not where we are. And it might sound silly, but I have found it freeing, and it has helped me accept this place in life more to say my age. And yeah, sure. You know, I have a little Botox in the face right now. What is it doing for me? Trying to walk the middle road. I have compassion for everyone who's struggles with this idea of what are we supposed to do, because we see so many messages in the media,
right?
And we you know, this is the thing, we've lost an idea of what this should look like anymore. And I don't have a judgment of yes, you should do it, you shouldn't do it. I just have compassion for everyone, and at the same time, I can't afford the things that I believe that right. some people must be doing to look really fantastic.
I know, it is a fortune. It's a fortune.
It's a fortune. And you know, it's a you know, like, do I put money in my face? Do I put money in my son's
college account?
You know, it's so ultimately I'm paying for summer school this summer.
No. Well, we're wrapping up here on Satellite Sisters. We've been speaking with Annabelle Gurwitch. I will put a link to Annabelle's website and her books and her appearances. You do have a lot of events coming up.
I do.
Yeah. But, you know, I loved sort of just the opening message of your book, which was stay funny. You know, that's the chapter, the title of the first chapter. And is that what you're working with now? Is that your motto that you're going with?
It is. And now let me just say to my fantastic gynecologist who can only remember me as Tilted Uterus 52, I genuinely was asking him some advice on how to deal with this middle age stuff. And that's all he could come up with. I was sure he was going to say, stay hydrated, stay happy, stay healthy, stay the same, never change. No, he said, stay funny. And I thought, all right, I'm going to try. I'll do my best.
Well, thank you so much for being here today with us, Annabelle. Again, go to satellitesisters.com for information on Annabelle, her book, all the work that she's doing, events. She's got plays going. She's got a million things going on, and she's going to stay funny. We're the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. Reminder before we wrap up that you can find out all you need at satellitesisters.com. If you're looking for more information about Annabelle Gurwitch, about her book, about our entire list of best beach bag books, Annabelle's book is on there, but there are a million great books. You want to go to satellitesisters.com. If you're looking for a link to Audible, audiblepodcast.com/sisters, you can find that at satellitesisters.com. I want to let you know we have a bunch of other authors coming up this summer in the Satellite Sisters Word Write Festival, including Amy Alcon with her manners book, Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say a Bad Word. And we're also talking to Cindy Shupak about her really incredible memoir about marriage and infertility, The Longest Date. I know, trust me, it's funny, people. Doesn't seem like it's a hilarious topic, but it is in her hands. A writer from Sex and the City, she'll be joining us later in our Satellite Sisters Word Write Festival. But everything you need, info on the books, info on our entire list of Satellite Sisters beach bag books, which really is a wide range of books, everything from memoir to nonfiction to mystery to fiction. It's all there. And then the link to the audiblepodcast.com/sisters if you want to download this book or any book for free over the next 30 days. Thanks for joining me. I'm Leanne Dolan. There will be new Satellite Sisters Word Write Festival interviews posted every Wednesday in July. So stay tuned, keep looking for them, and don't forget, call your satellite sister.